This is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year. Over the past year, we have been walking through the Gospel of Matthew, listening to Matthew's particular view of who Jesus is. Today, we walk back through the seasons of the church year, being reminded of what Matthew has shared about Jesus. All of this is so that we might be able to confess that Jesus is the long-awaited King. That Jesus is the one who we would bow before as rulers of our lives. Furthermore, we confess that we will live imitating Jesus' incredible love, especially for those who are the least of these. So we begin our worship today by singing two verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns.
May be seated. Our young people, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, spend 3 years in confirmation. Over that 3 years, 1 year is spent studying the Old Testament, 1 year is spent studying the New Testament, and the third year is spent learning what it means to be a Christian of the Lutheran flavor. This year, we are in the New Testament study year. As we're talking about the differences between the four Gospels with our young people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we talked about how Matthew is the most Jewish of the Gospels. It is a Gospel that is concerned with lineage. As a matter of fact, the very first thing in Matthew is a genealogy which stretches all the way from Abraham to Joseph. This is the first verse of the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew immediately wants us to know who Jesus is. He is the long-awaited Messiah. From the very first verse of the book of Matthew, we're told that Jesus is the anointed one, or the promised one, the one promised in the Old Testament by God through the prophets. Immediately, Jesus is tied to the family tree of Abraham, the first of the patriarchs. It is Abraham God comes to and says, "Follow me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." It is David who becomes the greatest king in all of Israel's history, a king to whom God promises that forever a descendant of his will be on his throne. Matthew is letting us all know that the long-awaited promise is being fulfilled by God through the birth of this child.
So the first season in the church year is Advent. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear of the coming birth of Jesus through an angel's encounter with Joseph. Hear now the words from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. A few things you need to know about the book of Matthew. The writer was working to convince other faithful Jewish people that the long-awaited Messiah had come, that God's promises to Israel were fulfilled. Often throughout the book of Matthew, he reminds us of promises made by the prophets of old, promises that Matthew wants the reader or hearer to know have been fulfilled through Jesus. Matthew's goal is to convince other faithful Jewish people who Jesus is and that their waiting is over.
The Gospel of Matthew tells us very little about the birth of Jesus. As a matter of fact, if it was the only gospel that we had, the whole Christmas pageant would be really, really short. Listen to what Matthew has to say about the birth. Chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her, Mary, as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son and named him Jesus. In Matthew's version of Jesus' birth, there is no mention of angels or shepherds on a hillside. There is no mention of a manger or an inn.
So no, there was no manger, no inn, no angels, no shepherds, because Matthew is more concerned to tell us about the wise men from the east who come to honor this newborn king. While at the same time, Matthew wants to show us the deceit of the king of the day. King Herod would commit this deceit to retain his power. Hear the words from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
The wise men followed a star. It brought them to Jesus, who John calls the light of the world. In the season of Epiphany, we come to recognize that this is no ordinary human, that this, Jesus, is the very Son of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, we quickly move to the scene of Jesus' baptism. It begins with the introduction of John the Baptist, dressed in camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. Matthew, more than any other gospel, plays up John as one of the Old Testament prophets, calling people to repentance. Yet people swarm to him for baptism in the Jordan, including Jesus. A reading from Matthew 3, beginning with the 13th verse. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." After the baptismal scene, we should have no questions who this is. Jesus' identity is clear. He is God's own Son, the Beloved. Throughout the season of Epiphany, Jesus' identity becomes clearer and clearer. He is referred to as the one who brings light in the midst of darkness. He begins to teach. In Matthew, the first great section of teaching takes place on a mountainside. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, which you can find in chapters 5 through 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is painting a picture for us of Jesus as a new Moses, teaching and leading God's people into a new way of being.
So the church seasons don't strictly just walk through the events of the life of Jesus. So we do spend a bit of time hearing about Jesus' ministry during Epiphany, but then are quickly moved into the season of Lent. In the ancient church, this was a time for new believers to be taught what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This teaching would lead towards their baptism on Easter morning and becoming a part of the church. We are continually invited to remember that Jesus is God with us. The powers of Jesus' day did not believe this. As a matter of fact, they work again and again and again trying to discredit him. Hear the words of Matthew 22:15-22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is it? Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. When their plot did not work, a plan unfolded. Judas agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Meanwhile, in the final hours before his arrest, Jesus gathers his disciples and they share a meal. Hear the words from Matthew 26:26-30. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
The arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion comes. Jesus dies, and the world goes dark. The powers of the day, both religious and political, were certain that they had accomplished what they had set out to do, putting an end to this uprising brought about by a simple Jewish man. But remember, Matthew tells us that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, that he is God with us. So just when the powers thought that everything was all over, there was an Easter morning. A reading from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
So the church here moves through the Easter season and then on to Ascension Day, when Jesus ascends and returns into heaven. It's not the end of the story, but just the beginning. As Matthew closes out his telling of the good news of Jesus, we are left with the responsibility of not keeping this story to ourselves, but becoming bearers of the story. Hear now the words from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'"
From the day of Pentecost, we move into the season of Pentecost. It's the longest season of the church year, stretching from the beginning of June all the way into mid-November. In that time frame, we read through much of the Gospel of Matthew, listening to the teaching, the preaching, and the challenging of Jesus. In those months, we've learned more about Jesus, Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. We've heard through Matthew's words how Jesus is the promised Messiah, God's long-awaited anointed one. But we're also challenged. Challenged to not just say that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, but challenged that we would live as he calls us to live, loving God and serving our neighbor. Hear the gospel text appointed for this day from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of this gospel. Jesus said to the disciples, When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for you for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To confess Jesus as Messiah is to live serving our neighbor, the stranger, the lonely, the imprisoned, the hungry, and the thirsty. To follow this King of Kings is to serve. So we are brought to this day, the final day of the church year, where we are called to confess that this is our King.